Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 458. I'm Amy Matheny, and hey, it's the day after the Oscars. Did you watch? It was long. It was boring. And I'm not sure there were any real surprises, although some, perhaps. I really think the night belonged kind of part and parcel to two different films. Hugo winning a lot of awards for film editing and for visual effects and art direction and cinematography, sound editing, a lot of the technical awards, and then The Artist, which won original score and for lead actor and director, and really won the awards that kind of lead in costume design that kind of lead up to who's going to win the best Oscar picture of the year. Perhaps a surprise was the original screenplay being Woody Allen, Midnight in Paris, which I just saw this past week. And I have to say, I just loved this film, and it had a spirit about it that felt very similar, I think, in some ways, the spirit of The Artist and some of the joy of filmmaking that has been discussed about Hugo, though that's a darker film. But really, The Night belonged to me, my personal opinion, to Meryl Streep. I have to say, I'm a huge fan of Meryl Streep. Who isn't? I mean, is anybody not a fan of Meryl Streep? I don't really think so. But I was really rooting for Viola Davis this year. I thought her performance in The Help was absolutely transcendent. It was so powerful. It was so still. It was so true. It came from her core, her character of Abilene. And I enjoyed the movie The Help immensely. The Iron Lady, I did not like the movie at all. Meryl Streep is magnificent in it. But I didn't feel in the same way about that character, which doesn't mean her portrayal of it was any less sublime and magnificent and transcendent. I just really was rooting for Viola. But I have to say, I thank God for Meryl Streep of kind of bringing this thing back to some sort of humility and humble roots of making movies and people who love their craft working with one another. And, you know, I don't make movies, but I make plays, and currently I'm in a play, and you see how many people it takes to make a play and her loyalty to her hair and makeup designer who's been with her, she said, for 30 years since she did Sophie's Choice. And just, you know, the amazing relationship of that. And I'm sure, as she said, she looks out in that audience and she just sees her peers and she sees her life. And she's been fortunate enough to make a lot of movies and work with a lot of actors, some newer actors recently and actors who have passed on, as she said. And I just thought it was a really beautiful speech when there was just no Even the vignettes, though nice, just didn't make me feel about the power and transcendence of film. And which is interesting because this year was really about people, I think, being inspired by film, with the artist, with Hugo, even to a certain extent, literary inspirations and period and time with Midnight in Paris. And then just great storytelling with Moneyball and The Help and The Joy of Bridesmaids, you know, of being some of the movies this year. So anyhow, Christopher Plummer, really our only connection to the GLBT community that I can think of, in that he won for Best Supporting Actor for Beginners, where he plays a man who comes out very late in life, the father of Ewan McGregor's character. And that was really one award that everybody thought would definitely was a pretty done deal that it would go to Christopher Plummer. But so I guess the big surprise of the night was it going to be Meryl Streep or was it going to be Viola Davis? And Meryl Streep, in her award, gave us the speech of the night, I thought. And if you thought differently, please let me know. There's still some films I haven't seen, but I haven't seen Hugo, and I would really love to see Hugo now after all these awards. The softer side of Scorsese, and I love that the Bridesmaids drank on Scorsese, and I think they should maybe let the Bridesmaids host next year, or Neil Patrick Harris, or Meryl Streep. That's what I think. Let Meryl Streep host now. She's been nominated more than anybody else. It should be her awards, quite honestly. Maybe we should rename the award the Streep as opposed to the Oscar. We have a big show for you today, a lot going on in the GLBT news and also in the theater scene around town, but we are following up on a story where we are following a duo of a couple of entrepreneurs, gay entrepreneurs here in Chicago, who started a company called Talbot Tees a number of years ago, less than 8-9 years ago. We had them on our show about 1 year ago. One of their co-creators, Shane Talbot, was on and talked about the experience of becoming one of the Oprah's favorite things. And they were looking forward to launching being on QVC for the first time, and just really what it was like being these gay entrepreneurs with an idea and starting to get some recognition. Well, the story continues. They appeared on Shark Tank a week ago, and we are now following up with the other other half of Talbot Tees. Steve Nakashir is going to be on the show with me to tell me what happened with Shark Tank, what was the big announcement made just this past week, and what is in the future for Talbot Tees. So it's a really cool story, and I'm thrilled that we can continue bringing it to you as it is continuing to unfold. And so me and Steve are going to sit down and chat, and I hope all of you are going to enjoy it.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. The Maryland Senate gave final legislative approval to a marriage equality bill that the governor is expected to soon sign. The vote was 25-22. Meanwhile, the Maine Secretary of State confirmed the same day that activists have turned in enough valid signatures to put a pro-marriage equality measure on the ballot there in November. The vote marked the third time the state legislature has given final approval to marriage equality in the past 2 weeks. Two of the three states, in Maryland and Washington, are likely to be put to law before voters this November. The third state, New Jersey, had the legislation immediately vetoed by its governor.
In New York, officials at Beth Israel Medical Center have appointed Barbara Warren as director of the facility's new LGBT Health Services Initiative. Warren was director of the Center for LGBT Social Services and Public Policy at New York's Hunter College City University.
In Arizona, Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babeau, known for his stance opposing illegal immigration, threatened his male Mexican ex-lover, Jose, with deportation when the man refused to promise to keep their relationship a secret. The most recent of the alleged threats were made through Bebo's attorney, who's also running Bebo's campaign for Congress.
In Texas, an appeals court has ruled against a coalition of anti-gay Christian groups who wanted to recall El Paso Mayor John Cook and other city officials after they made a pro-LGBT move. The case stems from a 2010 November ballot measure to block same-sex partners of city employees from receiving health care benefits.
In Massachusetts, Bridgewater State University lesbian student Destiny Mog Barkalo was attacked on campus after she wrote an editorial supporting marriage equality. A man and woman approached her and asked her if she wrote the article. When the student responded that she did, the female half of the couple allegedly punched her.
In Miami, Tokyo Valentino, a gay club in the Shorecrest neighborhood, is the target of angry residents, gay and straight, who believe it's an illegal adult entertainment complex. The club has a dance floor and a game room. However, it also has private rooms and viewing booths.
In Pennsylvania, Villanova University has canceled a workshop by gay performance artist Tim Miller, claiming his shows are not in line with the school's Catholic values. Miller gained notoriety in 1990 when the National Endowment for Arts vetoed grants for him and three other people.
In Tennessee, sponsors of the so-called Don't Say Gay bill are working on an amendment to the measure. The House Education Committee temporarily tabled a discussion of the measure meant to curb discussions about homosexuality in elementary and middle schools, so new language can be added specifically protecting some talks between students and their teachers, school nurses, and guidance counselors.
In New Mexico, gay Santa Fe hairstylist Antonio Darden has refused to cut Governor Susana Martinez's hair because she does not support same-sex marriage. Despite her position on marriage, Martinez recently appointed an openly gay man to the state's Public Regulation Commission.
In California, Chapman University School of Law professor and marriage equality proponent M. Catherine Baird Dahmer died after falling from a building in Irvine. Officials said her death was a suicide. Dahmer's legal writings included pieces on torture, civil rights, and the legal scene after Prop 8.
La Grande, Oregon, Mayor Daniel Picorni has apologized for calling same-sex marriages an abomination on his Facebook page. Picorni also compared Washington State, which just legalized marriage equality, to Sodom and Gomorrah. His comments resulted in almost 200 comments from people criticizing him.
In Maryland, Baltimore City Council approved a non-discrimination measure that would protect transgender individuals. Baltimore now is the fourth municipality in the state to adopt such protections. Council members did not add a proposed amendment that would have exempted bathrooms, locker rooms, and dressing rooms.
In world news, the Canadian government is moving to close a legal loophole that could have undermined the marriages of thousands of gay couples from around the world who have wed in Canada. The federal government introduced a measure on February 17th that declares same-sex marriages valid for the purposes of Canadian law and unveils rules for same-sex divorce for non-residents. Among other things, the bill allows a Canadian court to grant a divorce to non-resident spouses who reside in a state where a divorce cannot be granted to them because that state does not recognize the validity of their marriage.
Survivors UK, which aims to raise awareness about sexual violence against men, has launched a campaign around London with the line, "Real men get raped." The ads, which featured a punctured rugby ball and the words, "Real men get raped and talking about it takes real strength," were posted during the Six Nations rugby tournament.
India's Home Ministry has distanced itself from calls made by Solicitor General P.P. Malhotra to reinstate a gay sex ban, according to the China Post. Malhotra said he was representing the ministry when he asked the Supreme Court to overturn a groundbreaking 2009 ruling that legalized gay sex. However, the ministry released a statement saying it has not taken any position on homosexuality.
In Canada, the scientist who discovered hepatitis C in 1989 now says he's developed a vaccine against the liver-destroying virus. Michael Houghton from the University of Alberta said the vaccine was developed from a single strain, but is effective against all known varieties of the disease. Left untreated, the disease can cause scarring of the liver and lead to life-threatening cirrhosis.
In entertainment news, Lindsay Lohan will host the March 3rd episode of Saturday Night Live. This will be the former Playboy Centerfold's first return to the long-running sketch show since hosting 6 years ago. Also, Lohan has apparently gotten the Elizabeth Taylor role in the upcoming Lifetime movie Liz and Dick, but with a caveat that she has to stick with the judge's orders and stay on the right side of the law.
The Glee Live in Concert tour has been canceled for 2012. The cast will instead have a summer vacation. However, Lea Michele, Corey Monteith, Chris Colfer, and the show's many other stars may perform a one-night-only concert at the Hollywood Bowl.
Although final toxicology reports have not come in, preliminary results show that Whitney Houston had a lethal mixture of Xanax, Valium, and alcohol in her system when she died. Houston's heart stopped beating because her respiratory system was suppressed, by the anti-anxiety medications, and the alcohol likely accelerated that suppression.
Madonna has hired a new backup dancer for her world tour, 15-year-old daughter Lourdes. It will reportedly be the first time the teen will appear on stage with her superstar mother.
Actor Brandon Routh of Superman fame will play Michael Urie from TV's Ugly Betty's boyfriend in Partners, a CBS comedy pilot from Will and Grace creator Max Muchnick and David Cohan. Ruth will play Urie's partner, a former alcoholic club-hopping model who is now a sober vegan nurse.
Lily Tomlin's been cast as Reba McEntire's mother in a pilot for the new ABC sitcom Malibu Country. McEntire's character is a divorcee who moves from Nashville to Malibu to relaunch her singing career. Tomlin's character, Shirley, has been described as Rebecca's classically Southern, warm and funny, not always intentionally, mother, who joins the family in their move from Nashville to Malibu.
And Barbra Streisand has re-signed with Columbia Records and will release a 12-set DVD that includes never-before-seen footage directly from her archives. The singer-slash-actress has been with the label for 50 years, releasing her first record, the Barbra Streisand album, in 1963. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. Why haven't audiences warmed to Woody Harrelson in his serious roles as they have when he plays comic flakes, stoners, and wackos? Is it because he brings such a scary, single-minded intensity to his characters? Or because the common link between all these complex performances is that they're anti-heroes? Whatever it is, Harrelson's fearlessness, his willingness to plumb the depths of these emotionally scarred, morally reprehensible characters, is once again on display vividly in Rampart. The movie reteams Harrelson with Oren Moverman, who directed the actor in the criminally overlooked The Messenger. He plays Dave Brown, a career cop who doesn't suffer fools gladly, lives with his two ex-wives, sisters, played by Cynthia Nixon and Anne Heche, and his two daughters, and nightly picks up another woman. Two of them are played by Audra McDonald and Robin Wright. It's Los Angeles in 1999, and the police department is in the midst of dealing with the fallout from the Rampart scandal, which was caused when widespread corruption with the department's anti-gang division was revealed. Brown is a dirty cop, long used to having his way on the streets and in his personal life. But his career begins to implode after he's set up by one of his enemies and is caught on tape beating a suspect nearly to death. Nothing he seems to do after that point in either his career or personal life seems to stop his downward spiral. Moverman, co-scripting with James Ellroy, the crime-writing expert upon whose story the material is based, has a knack for giving his tremendous cast scant moments in which to make their presence felt, sometimes literally in slivers of screen time. And Harrelson's talent for these bad apples, as noted, is wondrous, but all that good acting is in service to yet another story about a rogue cop. And if I never see another movie focused on a cop drinking, smoking, swearing, womanizing, and behaving with violent disregard of the law, it won't be too soon. Enough, enough with the soulless, corrupt cops, Hollywood. Familiarity has bred contempt. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead, you're not alone. Post a comment.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 27th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Man Boobs is a new dark comedy by J. Julian Christopher, presented by Pride Films and Plays at Mary's Attic. Starring Michael Hampton and Rick Heinz, and directed by David Zack, Man Boobs is playing now through March 10th. For tickets, visit brownpapertickets.com. Man Boobs is unlike any gay play you have ever seen.
Lifeline Theater continues its 29th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close with a world premiere adaptation of Hunger, Elise Blackwell's novel about the World War II siege of Leningrad. Hunger runs Thursday through Sunday through March 25th. For tickets and more, visit lifelinetheater.com.
Paula Poundstone returns to the North Shore Center for another fabulous, unforgettable performance. Paula took the comedy world by storm in 1989 by winning the American Comedy Award for Best Female Comic. She now appears on NPR's quiz show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and is a regular guest on Prairie Home Companion. Paula Poundstone won performance only on Friday, March 30th at North Shore Center in Skokie. For tickets, visit northshorecenter.org.
When Claudia left Ian and her old life in adult entertainment, she thought she had found a new start. But when Ian shows up weeks before her wedding to the local youth minister and man of God, everything is thrown into turmoil. Welcome to Hesperia, where everyone has something to hide. Visit writerstheater.org for more. Hesperia is playing at Writers Theater now.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Cindy Lauper. Big shout out to Windy City Clearcast.
Well, we first talked with Shane Talbot on the Queercast about a year ago to talk Talbot Tees, the company created and run by Shane and his life partner and business partner, Steve Nakasher. Talbot Tees, based in Chicago, was starting to really take off when they were here and we were speaking with them after being featured in 2010 as one of Oprah's favorite things. And, well, the boys are just at it again this month, going nose-to-nose with the sharks on Shark Tank. And now their journey is continuing with a huge announcement this past week. And we are thrilled now to have the other half. Will Shane be upset if I say the better half? Uh-oh. Thrilled to have...
Shane's the better half.
So. Shane's the better half. See, that's why you all work so well together. We are thrilled to have Steve here on the show to get us up to date. Hey, how are you?
Great, Amy. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Oh, my gosh. Well, congratulations. It's been a banner big week for you all, and I don't want to spoil a surprise for people who may not know what it is yet, because I first just want to get a little tiny bit of background information. Tell me about Talbot Tees. What was the inspiration, and how did it get started?
Well, Shane and I started Talbot Tees really in 2003. We created Talbot Tees as part of a salon that we owned. Shane is a hair colorist, and we wanted to offer our clients a little pampering, a little experience that was kind of a step beyond. We kind of felt that there was a Starbucks on every corner, and we wanted to do something interesting. So Shane, being a complete lover of tea, created his own blend for his clients. And what we realized over time, that this really was our test market, that our clients were really the test market for the blends that Shane was creating, until finally, as the business guy, I said, you know, Shane, we really need to package this stuff and see if it could go anywhere. And that's how we started Talbot Tees.
Now, how did it become an Oprah favorite things?
Well, it became an Oprah favorite thing. I think there's a lot of luck involved in that. There's also a lot of hard work in it. We tried to put it in front of Oprah as often as we could, you know, being from Chicago and Oprah being in Chicago. We found our way many times,
yeah.
Tried to find our way there many times, and it was an amazing opportunity. So when Oprah puts you on the map, it's a product's dream come true.
Were you prepared for the response?
You know, we prepared. I don't think anyone could ever really be prepared for what's termed as the Oprah factor.
Yep.
It really is everything that you'd imagine it to be. More people, more opportunities than one could ever imagine. And what happened is, after the Oprah show, we were given so many opportunities that we realized we couldn't fulfill on these opportunities. So we couldn't afford to pay for the inventory to keep growing our business, and the business was just booming.
Right. Well, and I know the last time we spoke with you, off to make a QVC appearance. So then you had that factor of the QVC factor. And what did that do for you? Just more of the Oprah factor?
Yeah, you know, we went on QVC and we had a fantastic first airing. That was, I think, last April. And we came back in the summer and they offered us 5 new products and 7 airings. So they really QVC has been very supportive of us, and it's been a very exciting. Plus, Shane is such a natural on camera that he did a great job.
So tell me kind of what was the difference in terms of numbers of like how much were you selling the first QVC and how much did you sell on the second? I know there were multiple appearances, but was it a big leap? I mean, things were just growing exponentially for you guys?
Yeah, so their first purchase order, you know, from QVC was like a $20,000 purchase order. And for us, we were jumping up and down on that. And then we got our second purchase order, and that was for over $200,000.
Wow.
So it's growing significantly.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is how we landed on Shark Tank.
So talk to me about that. Did they come to you, or did you apply?
I applied. Okay. I just literally put my... I love the show. I love Shark Tank and watch it religiously and always thought, God, if I could work with Barbara Corcoran, I could really get this business working.
Right.
And so I applied and we got a call. And, you know, whenever we get a call like this, I always think it's, you know, a friend of ours playing a joke on us.
Right.
But it actually turned out to be true. And, they invited us to come out to California to pitch to the Sharks.
Right. Now, what was that process like? And what were you asking for?
So the process is everywhere as intimidating as you'd imagine it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You literally, what you don't know is that you walk into that room and you're prepared to do maybe a 3-minute pitch. And then after that, the Sharks have never met you. They're not prepped on anything that you're going to talk about. And you literally do maybe an hour to an hour and a half negotiation. Mm. And that gets edited into the 15 minutes of the show.
Wow.
So we came on the show asking for $250,000 in exchange for 20% equity of our company.
Okay. And what did you get?
Well, we ended up leaving the show with Kevin O'Leary, who's notoriously known as the tough guy. He was the one who was interested in our company, and we negotiated with him and ended up agreeing on a 35% equity for $250,000.
Wow. And so, Kevin O'Leary, what did you think of him? What did you know of him? Since you were a fan of the show, I mean, you said you wanted Barbara, but Barbara wasn't even on your episode, right? Or was she?
Barbara was not on our episode.
Right.
And Kevin O'Leary was the last person we thought we would be interested. The thing that I do know about Kevin is that he knows how to make money.
Yep.
So,
right.
And I figured, we'll take someone who's smarter than us and willing to help us grow our business. And he sure had kind of a nice vision for that.
Yeah. So something happened between the taping, which just aired, and this announcement that also happened kind of simultaneously. Obviously, those things don't happen within, you know, 24, 48 hours of each other. They're
right.
Obviously. When did you tape Shark Tank? And you knew what you had gotten from Kevin. And then what happened before this announcement, which I haven't even revealed yet. I'll let you reveal. That also came out the day after your airing on Shark Tank.
So right after Shark Tank, Damon, who's one of the sharks on the show, believed that he wasn't able to invest in the company because he's in a similar company, but he really wanted to help us. So Damon and Barbara, we finally got connected with Barbara Corcoran, who is also, I can't say enough amazing things about. The two of them got together and concocted an idea to bring us to a company that they thought would be a really good fit for us. It was a national company, and they thought maybe we could do a partnership or something with this company. And it became kind of so, when we met with this company, it was such a good fit, and we had such amazing meetings, and there were such good synergies between the company that they ended up offering an opportunity to buy all of Talbot's.
Wow. Now, the company is, who is the company?
Jamba Juice.
Jamba Juice, which we have here all over Chicago, and maybe you have it if you're listening in your city, which is, how would you describe Jamba Juice?
Jamba Juice is a smoothie. They're known for their smoothies. They're a very healthy company. They make awesome, amazing products, and they're very health-forward and really, really, I mean, we're such huge fans of Jamba Juice that, you know, to now be part of their brand
right.
is absolutely amazing.
So, but there are a lot of Jamba Juice stores nationwide, right?
Right. There's about 750 Jamba Juice stores nationwide.
Wow.
And they're also in several other countries, and they're growing very fast. And they're a publicly traded company. And
so what did you think about being acquired? Was that something that you even went into this Shark Tank thing wanting to do? Because, you know, sometimes companies get acquired very early. The idea is an early good one. And that's when companies want to strike, when it's hot, and develop them how they want. But then, you know, then there's the, is there the loss of anything in having an acquisition, you know, less than a decade after its formation of Talbot Teas for you guys?
You know, for us, it's a complete win-win. I mean, we never really thought that we would accept an offer to purchase the company. It was very exciting. Their vision to help us grow the company. Shane is taking on a position as the vice president of innovation for Jamba Juice, which excites him because he gets to create stuff and be part of the vision for creating new teas plus creating new products for Jamba.
Yep.
And for now, I'll be continuing to work with Jamba to help grow the company. And so we get to still keep our hands in the business.
Good. And what have you felt like as a gay couple? Because obviously you all are married. You've been together for how many years have you been together? Like
15 years.
15 years. So how is this? How have all these waters been to navigate as a gay couple? And how have you felt treated in the Oprah experience, in the QVC experience, in the Shark Tank experience, now with this Jamba Juice national, international experience? I mean, has it ever been a factor that you're a gay couple, or, you know, just how has that been in the corporate world?
You know, after we did the show, we came out on the show and saying that we were a couple in life as well as partners in business.
Right.
And, you know, when we left the taping, I said to Shane, I said, do you realize we just came out on national TV?
Yeah.
And for us, we never thought twice about it until after, because for us, it's very important for us to live our lives as we are and be as authentic as we can.
Right.
So I was a little nervous, wondered if we would get some negative responses. I cannot believe that it's been 100% positive across the board.
Good.
People are so positive. The amount of emails and blogs that have been written and people sending us emails and calling strangers we've never heard of, just being so amazingly supportive, blew us away.
Yeah.
So we feel a lot of love and support from the community and from everybody.
Yeah. Well, you're now walking the walk for all of us as the community. You know, whether you want to be or not, you are the face now of a gay entrepreneurial couple. And we are really thrilled that you're A, from Chicago, and B, such a stellar representation of gay and lesbian couples and validating our relationships as a personal and just professional relationship. So I think it's been an amazing role model that you all have set for the GLBT community now, and will continue to set, because it sounds like there's going to be a lot of innovation that both of you can bring to this, to Jamba Juice and what they're going to do in the future. So what is next? I mean, are people able, when are people going to see Talbot Teas in Jamba Juice?
They're going to roll it out as soon as possible. We're rolling it out as soon as possible.
Okay.
It probably will happen sometime this summer or early in the fall.
Okay.
we are, you know, kind of moving as fast as we can. It's great to have the backing and amazing people over at Jamba Juice helping us grow the company. So we will continue to provide product to our existing customers and continue to grow the business as well as we can. It's certainly something that Shane and I are very passionate about and have put, you know, our years of blood, sweat, and tears into this. So we're excited to see what the next chapter becomes.
Right. And is Chicago going to stay your home?
Yes, it is. That was part of the agreement. Jamba Juice is out in San Francisco, and we will certainly get to spend some time out there, which is fantastic and exciting. But at the same time, Chicago is our home, and we have no plans on leaving. So we're committed to staying here, and our offices are staying here, and we're excited that we're hoping to be able to make some new hires and continue to grow the business and help support people by providing some jobs.
Yeah, here in Chicago, which is great. Can folks now, even when a company is acquired, Talbot Teese is acquired as a division, I guess is how you would say it, of Jamba Juice, will people still be able to buy your teas online directly, or will you still be, I know you had gone into many hotels and wholesale stores. You were in some stores, and you also were really big in some very high-end, you know, nice department stores. Will those relationships continue?
Yeah, that's the exciting piece about this, is that we will continue to supply to our existing customers and online and continue to grow that side of the business.
Okay.
And Jamba is really going to give us the opportunity to keep our company in a lot of ways as a standalone company continue to grow with their support, as opposed to get folded into a larger company.
Great.
So again, perfect for us.
Yeah. So how and where can people pick up some beautiful Talbot teas? Because I'm needing some blueberry bliss very
That's
soon.
That's my favorite too.
It's my favorite. It's so, you have to understand, if you have not seen their teas, they're so beautiful and they taste really great. And I can't drink caffeine, so I'm not a coffee drinker. I've always been a tea drinker. And I've had the opportunity to meet and get to know since last year, Shane and Steve. And, you know, your teas are so amazing. And the funny thing is, the funny story is that my brother loves to every year give my mother one or two things that are Oprah's favorite things. And he's been doing it for years. And so he gave our mother, you know, your Oprah favorite things collection. So when I go home, you know, we all drink Talbot teas in Tennessee. And so when I met you, of course, my whole family is calling me when you're on Shark Tank. And my brother's so excited because he thinks you all were the best Shark Tank presentation ever. And he also is a huge fan of the show. And so we feel like Talbot teas is already our tea, you know. It's just the tea we drink. But please tell me where other people can join in the Talbot Teas experience and where they can find Talbot Teas.
Well, there's a lot of places to find Talbot Teas, including Chicago area Whole Foods stores and Bloomingdale's. But for one of the great places to go find it is at talbottees.com.
Yep.
So you can always go shop on there, and we'd love that support. And if you're also doing it, please send us a sweet little message too, because we'd love to read your messages also.
Yeah, and be looking for the Jamba Juice, coming out in the stores. Great way this spring and summer to have some tea and enjoy your smoothie. And it's perfect timing heading into Pride too. How proud we can all be about the work and the journey that you and Shane are on. So everybody, we will have that website linked in our show notes, talbottees.com. Very easy resource to find out about the company, all the teas they offer, and there is a wide variety of caffeinated and decaffeinated and green teas that you can enjoy. And also, I'm sure all the new information about what's happening with Jamba Juice and when you can stop in one of their 700-plus stores and enjoy a Talbot tea as well will be there. Steve, please give my best to Shane and congratulations on what has just been an amazing February for you guys and for the company. And we could not be prouder that you're representing Chicago and also representing the LGBT community for us.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, have a great week. Now we have to wait till the June with the big Tony Awards before we have another big gay high holiday. So the Oscars are done. On to watching new movies for 2012. What are going to be the big pictures of this year? And will we have more GLBT representation? Who knows? We will soon see. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now. Oh!